Hi guys, welcome back to All the Buzz. Today I am joined by Angie Marr, renowned chef and restaurateur. Angie is the chef and proprietor of Le B, which just made Rob Report's 10 best new restaurants in America. No small feat. I'm so excited to have her with us, and let's talk about food, creating your own brand, obviously launching your own restaurants, and so much more. So without further ado, Angie Marr. Hi, Angie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming out of the kitchen and being here with us. I feel like that's a rare thing.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. You know, I'll always come out of the kitchen for you.
I think the first time that we met Patrick McGregor, shout out, who's Angie's publicist, invited me to a small dinner at your restaurant at the Beatrice Inn at the time. And it was me, Zach Weiss. I feel like there was one other fabulous guy. It was just like
there was someone else pretty fabulous there.
Another man. Yeah. It's all the guys and me. Yeah. It was like the best night ever. So thank you for having me at your restaurant.
Of course.
I'm so excited to have you. I feel like, you know, you get a lot of attention, which is so obviously valid in the food world, and you're always in vogue. Like, what's it like to just be, you know, of course, such a true creative in the kitchen, but like you also have this brand that's you too. Like, how do you do it all?
when I figure it out, I'll let you know. No, you know, I've been really, really blessed to be, you know, have such an amazing team around me, because I think it really, you know, it all just, you know, it takes a village, right? Yeah. As you mentioned, Patrick is an amazing publicist, and he's been with me like literally from the beginning. But also too, you know, the team in at Le B and the restaurants, it's like they're just so incredible, and they really allow me to do, you know, what it is that I do. You know, but really just building the brand over the years, and you know, it's been a challenge, but also a really fun adventure.
And I can't wait to talk all about your adventures, because you've had such an interesting career. But let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Take us back to the early days.
Of course. So I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. I had a really international childhood. My father grew up in Seattle, and, you know, that's where my whole family is home base. But my mother grew up in going back and forth between Taipei and Oxford. So in the spring and summer, I would spend my time leaving Seattle, going to Taipei to go visit her family there, spending time in Hong Kong, and then, of course, in London. So a very international childhood. And, you know, I don't think that I understood how amazing it was, right, when I was a kid. But now looking back at it as an adult, you think, wow, like, I got to travel everywhere when I was a kid. How lucky was I?
Yeah.
But that really, you know, getting to travel so much as a child really informed my palate, which I think you can taste those sensibilities now when you come into the restaurant.
Yeah, and when you go into your restaurants, I mean, the ingredients that you use, and I'm a pretty well-cultured and travel person. Like, there are things on your menus that, like, I don't even know, which I feel like says a lot, because I'm so into, you know, all those things. But you definitely, you know, expose your clientele to so much of the world, not just New York, where your restaurants are based.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When did you land in this crazy city that is our home, New York?
Oh my gosh. So I've been in New York for 20 years this October. And, you know, I have a lot of family here. So my mom always said, like, you're going to end up either in Paris or New York. I know it. And, you know, so I ended up here, but it's, you know, it's, I can't believe it's been almost 20 years.
That's wild. That's like
wild.
Like longer than any relationship I've had.
Yeah.
Is your relationship with New York. And mine with New York. I've lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so, okay, you come here, and then what's the path to launching your own restaurants? Like, I'm assuming this passion for food stemmed way back. So when did you first discover that this was your area of interest?
So, you know, I come from a restaurant family. So my my aunt was a very famous restaurateur and politician in Seattle. Her name was Ruby Chow. So I grew up like running around the restaurants, running around frozen food factories that my family owned. So I guess for me, there was no other choice. It was like in my blood, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think my parents didn't want me to do this. Obviously, it's a hard life. But I just love it. You know, I just love it. So I moved out to New York, went to culinary school and was working a ton. But I don't know. I just like, I love the city. I love the industry very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think my goal has always been to just cook really wonderful food, you know, and, you know, really like highlight my art, I suppose.
Why is it that when parents tell their kids that they would like not like them to pursue that career path, yeah. it ends up becoming like the stories of the most successful people? Like Awkwafina, I remember during yeah. her Oscar speech, she was like, my mom like never understood what I did for a living and now I want an Oscar. I mean, or like me, like I think like my dad always wanted me to become a doctor because he was a doctor.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like these creative paths aren't necessarily the ones that seem stable. But yeah. actually, if you look at like the trajectory of just like the workforce today, I mean, the people who have gone out on their own and mm-hmm. done something a little out of the box are really the people with the most stable jobs right now.
Because I think that as creatives, you know, don't you feel that's like our whole job is not only to be creative in our pursuits, but also, you know, we have more flexibility to create a life for ourselves, yeah. which I find to be, you know, incredibly freeing.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first restaurant that you opened mm-hmm. was the Beatrice Inn.
Was the Beatrice Inn. Yeah. So, I mean, it was already open when I took it over. I took over the kitchen there in 2013. And it was owned by Graydon Carter at the time. And he was still at Vanity Fair. And then I bought it in 2015 and relaunched it in 2016. So, you know, taking over a restaurant with a 100-year-old history in New York and a very public history at that, you know, it's no small feat. But, you know, it's a brand that I still own today and, you know, eventually I'm sure I'll do something with it. But it was a wild time, that restaurant.
Can you tell our listeners just why the Beatrice Inn is so iconic? Because a lot of our viewers aren't necessarily in New York. You know, what makes that such a place?
You know, so it was actually one of New York's first speakeasies. So, which is just wild when you think about it. You know, you had people like, you know, Hemingway and Zelda. Like, they were all, like, drinking at this insane place. And then it became an Italian restaurant. You know, it's had many lives. It became an Italian restaurant for over 50 years, mm-hmm. Owned by the Cardia family. And then more recently, you know, in like the early 2000s, the early aughts, it was one of New York's most notorious nightclubs, you know, in an era where it was like all about Sex and the City and, you know, everyone was drinking Cosmos and wearing Manolos.
Yeah.
You had the opposite with the Beatrice, which it was, you know, this raucous nightclub. You know, if you were a girl and you showed up like dressed as we are and wearing heels, they wouldn't let us in.
Wow.
They wouldn't let us in, you know? And it was like where, you know, the Olsen twins and Kate Moss and, you know, they were all partying there. Mm-hmm. And it was the last place Heath Ledger was seen alive. It's this like wild and sordid history.
It sounds a little bit like Studio 54 almost.
Almost, right? For the early 2000s, for sure.
And when you acquired the restaurant from Graydon Carter, I'm obsessed with Vanity Fair. I'm now obsessed with Aramail. Like, he just has such a vision and a way of doing things. Was he, like, was that something he was trying to get rid of at the time? Or how did that happen?
No, great. Look, Graydon is amazing. Like, I've always loved Graydon. I think that, you know, he's always been, he and Anna, of course, have always been such a huge support throughout my career. You know, and I was really fortunate that, you know, when I took the job for Graydon, like, you know, nobody knew who I was. I was, you know, a sous chef at the Spotted Pig. And he really, you know, he believed in me and he believed in my food and he gave me my first shot. You know, and he's incredible. And no, I don't think that he wanted to get rid of that history. I think he wanted to embrace it, but also give it, you know, its own history. You know, there were times where I would be working and I would walk into the dining room to go say hello to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was sitting at a table with Fran Lebowitz and Oscar de la Renta. And they would just be like lighting up cigarettes in like the middle of a full restaurant. You know, it was
casual.
It was casual. It was great. You know, but he is, I think Graydon is a force, and I love everything that he's done. And
do you
it was
still keep in touch with him?
Yeah, you know, it was a huge honor to work with for him.
Wow.
Huge.
What's it like to have Anna Wintour be a huge supporter of you? I feel like many people cannot say that.
You know, I feel incredibly honored and so thankful that Anna and everybody at Vogue has just been huge supporters of ours from the beginning. We just want to be worthy of that. We want to make sure that, you know, we pay attention to detail. And I think that there's so many synergies between the way we look at cuisine and the way Vogue looks at, you know, at fashion and art. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible honor and privilege to have that support.
She comes to the restaurant, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she opened my last place, Les Trois Chevaux, for me with the Vogue 100 party, and it was really, really an honor.
Where do you go from there?
I don't even know.
You know where you go to? You go to the Rob Report's 10 best restaurants in the United States. How amazing. I mean,
thank you.
I'm jumping the gun because that's focusing on LaBie, correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about LaBie. You launched in September.
So we opened LaBie in September last year. I was in the process of moving Les Trois Chevaux uptown, and, you know, I've cooked in the Village for 15 years. So for me, it was like really important to maintain a presence there. And so I thought, well, you know, it's 2023. The Beatrice Inn turns 100 this year. You only turn 100 once. We have to like really revamp it and, you know, make it a thing. So we went and revamped it, called it LaBie. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, you know, every girl deserves a facelift at one point or another. Ooh. Right? So we opened LaBie, and it's been really wonderful. We've been incredibly thrilled and excited at the feedback, at, you know, the accolades that we've been lucky enough to receive.
Yeah.
But yes, at Rob Report, I think we're number 6 in the country right now, which is just a huge honor. And that came out last week, and it's been a very good year.
That is absolutely amazing. The interior design of LaBie is so beautiful. I mean, you just walk by the restaurant in the West Village, and it's just literally like sparkling every time. Yeah. What inspired, you know, the look of it?
Yeah. You know, it's really funny because my whole apartment is like all white, right? And I just always want to live in this like beautiful white cloud. And I have a really wonderful partnership with BW Architects, who they designed the Beatrice, they designed the Trois Chevaux, and then they did LaBie. And when they presented me this dark restaurant, I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to be so claustrophobic. Like, are you crazy?
Are you
like,
claustrophobic?
Yeah. Same. Oh, yeah. I was like, I can't. And then they were like, just give it a shot. And they painted one wall. And they weren't even done painting one wall. And I was like, it's beautiful. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm like, paint the whole thing dark. And it's this beautiful, dark, rich color. It's almost like a peacock. Yeah. It's like really fabulous. But, you know, really the whole thing started out with the chandelier.
Right.
Right. It's the focal point of this restaurant. It's circa the 80s. It came out of the Grand Prospect Hall in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, I just thought, this is Michelle Pfeiffer, circa Scarface. I need it in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. And I bought it, and that was it.
I feel like that's something that you can't return.
No.
If you ever get over it.
No. Right? Yeah. It's, yeah. For me, that was it.
Oh, my gosh.
So I bought the chandelier, showed it to the architects, and they really built everything around it.
Very cool. What kind of food can people expect?
So I'm French trained. So, it's for all intents and purposes, it's continental cuisine. But really, you know, I'm Chinese. I don't know how to make any Chinese food, unfortunately. That's not a skill that I learned. But there's still so many flavors and textures and techniques that I love, you know. And so this whole restaurant has been very much a culmination of my Chinese heritage and my French training. But the dishes are tremendously rooted in Americana. Mm-hmm. And it's the menu's so much fun.
What's like the most outrageous item on the menu?
You know, so I just put this dish on the menu, and it's called TFC. So truffles, foie gras, and caviar.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like the trifecta, right? Yeah, it's the trifecta.
That's up her alley over there.
Yeah. Yeah, truffles, foie gras, and caviar. And it's, you know, for me, it's really interesting because I think that, you know, there's a lot of, I think, food writers that are like, oh, you know, you throw truffles and foie gras and caviar on dishes when you, like, they think that people, you know, chefs do that to, you know, because they're suffering from a lack of creativity, so they put a luxury ingredient on it, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with at all. You know, my food is always simple flavors, mm-hmm. but incredibly intricate on your palate. So, you know, when we were coming up with this dish, I thought, okay, you know, what would happen if instead we took the best three ingredients and we let them shine together? And how would they complement each other? Mm-hmm. So it's a cool thing.
That sounds so good. I want to try that.
It's fun.
How often, I mean, I'm assuming you're in the kitchen every night, mm-hmm. correct?
I am, yeah.
How many of those nights are you cooking?
You know, we are open 5 days a week, and I'm cooking 5 days a week.
Wow.
You know, it's something, you know, I think there's a lot of chefs that are like, in their restaurant, but not really in their restaurant.
Right.
And I'm very much invested. I love being there, and I've got such a great group of people that work there. And for me, mentoring is tremendously important.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I can't do that if I'm not there.
Totally.
Yeah.
What do you wear? What's like your go-to cooking look?
Well, obviously, like I'm in Chef White's, you know, I'm in Chef White's, but I'm also a fashion girl. So, I do have Gucci clogs.
I love that.
Yeah. I do wear Gucci clogs in the kitchen. But yeah, I'm in White's.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think it's just so, you know, it's so glamorous when you think of opening your own restaurant from like an outsider's perspective. Yeah. But opening a restaurant, especially in New York, is the toughest of the tough. So what has been sort of the secret, you know, sauce to your success of just being able to, you know, be a successful restaurateur here?
Yeah. You're right. It is really tough. You know, it's an incredibly competitive market. I think that the dining trends change all the time. But I think that, you know, the one thing that I've found to be incredibly valuable, especially, you know, when you have your own business, and I'm sure you can relate, is that if you look at what's going on everywhere else and you're paying attention to what everyone else is doing, you lose focus on what you are doing and what your vision is. So a long time ago, you know, I stopped dining out, really. You know, I have like five places that I go to, and I have like the exact same, I'm very boring when it comes to this. I have like the exact same order to all of them.
What are these places?
Well, Le Bernardin, obviously. Like, I love Eric Repair. I think he's so talented.
Yeah.
So I always am at Le Bernardin. I do go to Per Se. I sit in the lounge, and I always dine there by myself. I never bring anybody with me. It's my place to like sit and be quiet.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful Chinese restaurant on East Broadway that I go to called Hui Yuan. Of course, Gabriel Kuther. So a very small amount of restaurants, but restaurants that I love.
What do you do on a day off? That's what I really want to know. What does your day off look like?
So, you know, I'm a homebody, you know, I partied a lot when I was younger. So I'm like this reformed party girl now, I feel, and I'm such a homebody. So for me, you know, Sundays looks like, an office day, a manicure, and, you know, and then I'll take myself out to dinner.
Very nice. It's hard to keep your nails looking good as a chef, I imagine.
Hard to keep your nails looking good as a chef. That's why the manicurist is very important.
Gel is the secret, I'm assuming,
hard
as well.
Hard gel.
Hard gel, same.
Hard gel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Who are some chefs who you look up to?
You know, there's a lot. You know, I think that there's some really, really amazing chefs. Andre Soltner, who used to own Le Test, it was one of the best restaurants in the country throughout the 80s. He's been an incredible, incredible support and mentor. Jacques Pepin, obviously, who is very much family now. Eric Repair has been nothing but supportive, just really, really wonderful. Thomas Keller, Gabriel Kuther. And, you know, Dominique Crenn is just so incredible. Mm. Not based in New York, in San Francisco, but, you know, I mean, she is by far one of the best female chefs in the world, and always such a support for me.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Do you ever envision yourself with a cooking show, opening a restaurant in Vegas? Like, do you see yourself kind of going? I don't like to say the more commercial route, because mm-hmm. those chefs are all, you know, so talented who have mm-hmm. gone down that path. And mm-hmm. I feel like somehow they're not oversaturated. They're yeah. able to still maintain that kind of like personal brand and restaurant integrity. But like, is that something that yeah. you want in your career?
You know, I don't know. You know, I never say never. I never limit anything. I think everything's a possibility.
Yeah.
I think as far as, you know, television, I do some of it sometimes, but it's not really my focus.
Okay.
I think if the right project came along, of course I would look at it. But not in the more commercial sense.
Yeah.
You know, I think that cooking is such an art, and I think I view it as such an art. So if I were to do something in that realm, I would want it to be as such. And then, of course, you know, expanding restaurants, yes. I mean, yes, of course.
Selfishly asking, what about in the Hamptons?
I mean, you know, gosh, I think that maybe, you know, next year we should start planning a pop-up.
I really think you should.
In the Hamptons, I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say, the food is not so great out there. Like, I think, you know, I go to Le Bibloque for the yeah. scene, and I just think it's beautiful, and, like, it's never going to be bad. Is it going to be as amazing as when I go to the location in the city?
Of course.
No, because there's just so many people. They're serving at least 1,000 people a night.
Yeah.
I like Pierre's. Mm-hmm. But other than, you know what I really like lately? And I just went this past Friday, and I thought my husband was going to think that I only wanted to go there because this is where Justin Timberlake had his little DUI right. situation. But the American Hotel is really good.
Interesting.
And I kind okay. of felt like it gives the most similar vibes to what you do.
Yeah.
Obviously can't compete, but I think you need to do something out there.
I probably should next year. We should yeah. look into that.
Okay. Done. I'll help. Whatever I can do to help bring
we'll
better
food.
We'll
do like Spotlight and LeBee. Like Cute. We've got to do a party.
I love that idea. Okay, we have to do that. My team's getting really excited over here. What advice would you give to someone who would like to open their own restaurant? Because it seems like it's something that's very hard to do, but we want to make sure that people understand that if you have a dream, you can go and
absolutely
do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, I think having understanding a vision, understanding who you are is tremendously important. I think that, you know, one of the things that I've done that I've always found to be successful for me is that I've always just kind of like marched to the beat of my own drum, you know, regardless of what that's been.
I love that.
Yeah.
And we love to ask all of our guests to bring an item with mm-hmm. them. And so you brought a very cute little pink Le Box. Tell us about it.
All right. So this is really fun. You know, I was thinking about like what I usually do in the Hamptons. And I think, you know, before we started this podcast, you were like, what do you do? And I was like, I don't go out. I'm like, I don't go out. Whenever I'm there, I'm like home yeah. and I'm cooking. So I actually brought you something so that you and your husband can cook this weekend.
So sweet.
So I actually
Thank
brought
you so much.
Our burgers that we do at LeBee.
So exciting.
They're 45-day dry aged burgers. You're going to be able to go and grill them this weekend at the house. Super fun. All the accoutrements are in here. So all you have to do is turn on the grill.
So thoughtful.
Yeah, it's
Thank
super
you so
fun.
Much. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I actually just got into cooking in the last year. My mom is a huge cook. I grew up, you know, with her just being really creative in the kitchen. And my friends would always be like, I don't understand. Like, how did you not get that? And
of
I'm like,
course.
Well, I don't know if I don't have it. I just don't have the interest to, like, try it out. And then when I, you know, kind of met my now husband, it was the first time that I felt inspired to cook. Because
right.
he has some different, like, he really shouldn't be eating out all the time. It's not great for him. And I'm like, okay, like I want to make, you know, him feel good and let me
right,
see
of
what
course.
This looks like. And I started cooking and he kind of taught me how to cook.
Well, that's amazing.
yeah.
All right, good. Well then, you know, maybe he'll want to grill the burgers.
He'll want to grill the burgers.
So this is super fun. So like the Le Box, what we're actually doing at the restaurant right now is like, as I mentioned, I'm like reform party girl. And I was thinking like, gosh, you know, the West Village is so fun and like, you know, what do people want at the end of the night? So we're actually doing La Box on takeaway. Ooh. Friday and Saturday nights, we're doing fried chicken. And so you can like literally come and get it Friday, Saturday nights from 9 p.m. on.
I love that.
It's so fun.
Such a good idea.
It's really, really fun. Yeah.
You should also bring this concept. Like, I mean, I know it's, you know, kind of almost July 4th, but like you could totally do something like this now in the Hamptons, or you team up with like the Jitney or someone and you just put them in. I mean, I could. This is what I do. I start coming up with ideas for all of our guests, but you should totally
love
do
it.
That.
Well, so the next party, we'll send it out for you guys.
Okay, thank you. I love that idea.
Let me do it.
What is next for you, Angie?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've always felt like the world is just kind of my oyster. So I'm, like, very, very excited for what's next. You know, right now we're just getting ready for fall. I think we've got a lot of really wonderful partnerships that are coming up. And, you know, really focused on mentoring my people at the restaurant, maintaining the success that we've had, and also really pushing for the next thing. I am very excited. So speaking of burgers, I have a masterclass coming out on burgers. So that will be out in August.
So cool.
Very exciting. So not only will you be able to get this recipe, but I'll actually teach you how to make it as well, which is really, really fun.
I just got so hungry after this conversation. We didn't even talk about like tons of food yet. I'm here with your burgers, and that's what I want.
It's really fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just I think really innovation, you know, continuing to innovate and maintain a really high standard.
I love it. And I also think that you need your own line of, like, aprons or something. I'm not even kidding.
I know.
You.
Who should we team up with for that?
I have some ideas. I'll share with you after. All right. Angie, thanks so much for being here with us on All the Buzz. You have a lot buzzing around you, and we can't wait to see what you do next. And I'm definitely making a reservation, and you should too. Bye. Good?